AM 1540, ZNS 1 and NASA. The time now is 8 o'clock. We invite you to join us for a special presentation from Turning Point Ministries. They will be discussing the Ten Commandments. Your host this evening is Julian Miller. This is AM 1540, ZNS 1 and NASA.
Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The present is a time of overwhelming interest to all living, rulers and statesmen, men who occupy positions of trust and authority. Thinking men of women of all classes have their attention fixed upon the events taking place about us. They are watching the relations that exist among the nation. They observe the intensity that is taking possession of every earthly element, and they recognize that something great and decisive is about to take place. That the world is on the verge of a stupendous crisis. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war are portentous. Their forecasts approaching events of the greatest magnitude. The agencies of evil are in combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final moments will be rapid ones.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, once again, you've given us an opportunity to go live to the nation tonight to speak to your people. Once again, Father, we ask for forgiveness of sins, clear minds, that all will go well, not only with us, but also with our listeners tonight. And at the end of the program, Father, we hope that you'll be lifted up from the sin cursed earth, and men, women, boys, and girls everywhere will look at the scriptures and your law in a new way this day and this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good evening and welcome to a special program presented by Turning Point Ministries. This afternoon we have a live call-in show from 8 to 10 p.m. For the full 2 hours, no commercials, just call-in we want from our listening audience this afternoon. If you want to reach us off the air or to reach us in our personal ministries, that's Turning Point Ministries, you can call 322-6273 or you can write us at P.O. Box 8-993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or if you're not a regular listener, you might not know that we have a website that is at www.tpministries.org, and at that website you could find tips on health and spiritual matters, or you can reach any of the participants here tonight via their email. Before we begin this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let the Director of Turning Point Ministries give you a little brief background on Turning Point Ministries.
Thank you very much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas, and good night. And about almost 4 years ago, Turning Point Ministries started simply by faith. It all started where the Lord impressed upon my heart to come to the nation, to speak to the nation, but the other side of the gospel that has been hidden for some time now in the Bahamas and around the world. And how it all got started was, I came to ZNS after saying that they had some openings here. And I told my sister Marlene, who's away on some business right now, she's not here with us, but she's away, still a part of Turning Point, working behind the scenes. And I told her, you know, with the Lord, it's impressed by my heart that Turning Point Ministry should be twofold. We should do a health tip, and we should also do spiritual concepts, sharing to the nation a wonderful message by the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at the end of that, coming at ZNS and getting the program all started, Brother Julian stopped at my shop within the hour, and he said, "Don't leave me out, I'd like to play a part." And it went along for about 2 or 3 years, and then a couple of months ago, we met Brother Renrick, and now Brother Renrick is on board with us sharing the good news of the gospel, and we're excited to have him along. And who knows, maybe you who are listening tonight will also be a part of us in not too distant future. So we pray tonight as we speak to the nation live and take your calls, this will be another opening concept of the spiritual things that have been hidden once again as we deal tonight with the importance of the Ten Commandment law today and all for the rest of our lives.
Thank you, Brother Paul. The first thing I want to do is we want to introduce ourselves. Well, I'm your host. My name is Julian Miller. And
Brother Paul Miller.
And this afternoon, our discussion really want to take the form of dealing with the Ten Commandments. And the reason for that is yesterday was celebrated by most denominations or most churches as Ten Commandments Day. So what we wanted to do is have an opportunity to address the nation on dealing with these Ten Commandments. And like I said, this is a call-in show, so I'm going to give you the telephone numbers right now. If you're calling from the Family Islands or overseas, you can reach us at toll-free now, toll-free at 1-242-300-8255. If you're calling here locally, that's in Nassau, you could reach us at 325-5403, 325-5404, or 325-5405. We accept in calls right away, so if you have a call or a question that you want to deal with on the Ten Commandments or the Ten Commandments Day, feel free to give us a call whenever. But Renrick, I'm going to ask you, your first question is going to be to you. What do you think of this Ten Commandments and this Ten Commandments Day?
I think of the Ten Commandments. And there's no discussion about the Ten Commandments. Not to put it that way, but the Ten Commandments are God's law. You know, they're firmly embedded in the biblical scripture, and they're given to man, you know, as a moral guide. It's a compass to guide man throughout his life. Brief comment on the Ten Commandments Day. I think it's a good thing always when man decides to turn to God's law and to recognize the importance of God's law. And I truly hope and pray that all of our listening audience would recognize the importance of God's law and recognize the importance of being obedient to God's law.
Brother Paul, I want to put the same question to you.
Well, Brother Julian, you know, since me and you've been in ministry for a couple of years now, we have an opportunity to speak to a lot of people about the importance of God's law. And you know, we had all kinds of different answers, and I think and I feel, and most time we tell people, you know, the thinking and I feel business as a Christian is out the door. We need to go to the scriptures, because Jesus says it's best in Matthew 4:4, man shall live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then Jesus came back in John 17:17, saying, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. And we met a lot of people who are afraid of the word of God. I think they're afraid of some of the things they would find there. And you know, it hurts my heart sometimes you speak to people who've been in the ministry, who have been a Christian longer than you and I have been, Brother Julian and Brother Renrick, and sometimes we try to take them to the scriptures, they don't really want to go there. But you know, in Psalms 119:126, the psalmist David said, it is time for the Lord to work, because they have made void thy law. And I really believe that the most of these disasters that are happening upon the earth today, the Lord are really allowing these things to happen because people have rejected his law, and to wake someone up to their consciousness that time is truly running out and it's getting late. And then the psalmist also said in Psalms 119:126, great peace of they that love thy law, and nothing should offend them. And everyone want peace. Everyone don't want to be offended by someone else, or they offending someone, you know. So the psalmist David said, if we really want love, if we really want peace, then it all comes through God's law. And then Jesus says, tops it up in John 14:15, he says, if you love me, then keep my commandments.
Brother Renrick, I have another question for you. We hear much talk about the Ten Commandments, especially around this Ten Commandments Day. Are the Ten Commandments still binding on us today?
Absolutely, they're still binding, Julian. Matter of fact, any Christian that takes the time and studies the scripture, which we should all do prayerfully and carefully, you'll find that nowhere in the biblical scripture will we find any authority to, number one, change God's law, and no sanction is given to say that God's law is no longer binding upon mankind. As a matter of fact, if we first turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, I mean, Jesus is quite clear in that verse where he says, think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle in no wise shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever shall therefore break one of these commandments and teach men to do so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I think that's quite clear to anyone who reads that scripture. Praise the Lord for his word, that his Ten Commandments are still there for mankind, even today.
Brother Paul, my next question is for you. What part does the Ten Commandments play in salvation, if it plays a part?
The part that the Ten Commandments plays in salvation is just pointing out sin. The Apostle Paul, I think, put it best. He said, by the knowledge of the law, by sin, sin only come by knowledge of the law. The law is like a mirror in your house. You look in the mirror, it tells you the problem that is wrong, but the mirror cannot fix it. You can only can be fixed if you take the time to use your hands or your brush or your whatever it might be, but the mirror doesn't have any strength in order to fix the problem. And this is like the law. The law tells you thou shalt not kill, but the only way you can have power not to kill is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:48, be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Then the psalmist David tells us how this is possible. He said, the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testament of the law is sure, making wise the simple. So if we want to be perfect, it only comes through us keeping the law. But here again, we need to remember that we have no power to keep the law. It only comes once we are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Because the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you should read the chapter just a few verses down, he goes on and lists some of the things of the flesh. And once we are walking in the Spirit, those fleshly things will be held in check.
But Renrick, we have also heard people say that the law was nailed to the cross. Was the law nailed to the cross?
Brother Julian, again, this is a common misconception today. And again, we all encourage our listeners out there to, don't just take what Paul, Julian, or Renrick are saying, but, turn to the scriptures and search the scriptures for yourself. There was something that was nailed to the cross, but it was not the Ten Commandments law. God's Ten Commandments law was written on stone by the hand of God. What was nailed to the cross? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, there was what we would call the ceremonial law or the law of Moses. And in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 20 to 21, we see there that the ceremonial law was given because of transgression. And this pointed forward to the sacrifice that Christ would make when he came to die and take away our sins. And there's a distinct difference in the Bible between the law of Moses or the ceremonial law and the Ten Commandments law of God. Daniel 9, verse 10 through 11, and Galatians 3, verse 16 through 19 tell us that the ceremonial law was given because of transgression. Luke chapter 2, verse 21 tells us that it was the law of Moses. The Ten Commandments were never called the law of Moses. It's quite separate and distinct. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 15 tells us that it was the law of ordinances. The Ten Commandments law was never called the law of ordinances. 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and 12 tells us that it was written in the book, that being the ceremonial law of the law of Moses. The Ten Commandments law was not written in the book. The ceremonial law was written in the book because it was written by the hand of man. But the law of God, the Ten Commandments law, was written directly by the finger of God on two tables of stone. And again, when we go down to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 15, we see that the ceremonial law was ended at the cross, mm-hmm. because again it was given to point forward to the sacrifice that Christ would make on the cross. And when Christ did come and he made that sacrifice, there was no longer any need for the ordinances and the things that were written in the ceremonial law. There was no longer a need for those things to take place because Christ finished it and he fulfilled it on the cross, just as he said in Matthew chapter 5.
All right, thank you very much, Renrick. But I'll get back to you, but we have a caller right now, so let's take a call on line one. Good afternoon, caller.
Yes, good afternoon.
Go ahead, ask your question, sir.
Mr. Miller.
Yes, go ahead.
I got two quick questions. Does all the laws in the universe originate from the Ten Commandments? Can a Christian be selective about which commandment they keep or don't keep?
Okay,
no, they should not be selective. If you be selective, then I mean, here again, you'd be breaking the law. Remember in James chapter 2, James tells us in James 2, if you should break one of the laws, we have broken all. So if a Christian truly is a Christian, and if the word Christian still means a follower of Jesus Christ, then a Christian should not be selective in the law, because Christ was not selective in the law. Remember, Jesus himself did the law. As a matter of fact, he said, things that have come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. That's Matthew 5. And how was he able to do it? He said, none of these things I do of myself. I do all these things of my Heavenly Father. Likewise, you and I can do the same. For why don't we continue to be a part of our Heavenly Father? Because the Apostle Paul tells us that we can be a partakers of the divine nature. I think that is John should have said. So if we are partakers of the divine nature, then the divine nature would not encourage you to sin. I also like to say something that Brother Renrick said about the law of ordinances. Now, if you should go to Colossians chapter 2, that familiar text that most people try to use to nail the Ten Commandment law to the cross, you'll notice that it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Notice it didn't say blotting out the finger writing of the law, of the moral law. Ordinances simply means ceremony. If you should look up the word ordinances, means ceremony. And that which was nailed to the cross. Think about it. Have you ever seen someone nail concrete to wood? or you've seen them nailing wood to concrete. It's the same thing with a book. The ordinance was written in a book that was easily able to be nailed to the cross. But you think they would be able to nail the stone that Christ wrote the commandments on to the cross of Christ? These are some of the concepts we need to think about when they talk about them being blotted out. And they also talk about Sabbath days and meat offerings and drink offerings. The Ten Commandments don't talk about Sabbath days, but they talk about Sabbath day. And like the caller said, should be selective in the Ten Commandments? No way. The Apostle Paul tells us, by the law is the knowledge of sin. And without the law, we would not know what sin is. The law is also our schoolmaster bringing us to Christ, because it's Christ that is going to empower us to keep his law.
He also asks that, are all the laws in the universe based within the Ten Commandments?
Yes, they are. Everything is based around the Ten Commandments, because even the government laws, sometimes they may go contrary to what the laws of God say. But even most government laws are built on the Ten Commandments. You know, most people are right now trying to figure out how we can make the nation better. Well, it's easy. All we need to do is pay attention to God's law. In Proverbs chapter 3, I think it is, the Bible says, "My son, my daughter, forget not my law, for length of days and long life and peace." But the problem is most people don't want the law. Are they afraid of the law? Why should they be afraid of the law? You know, the Ten Commandments Commission said the law has now been put aside now for years now, and the time for it's come now to bring it back, to bring the importance of the Ten Commandments back to the attention of the people. And once this law is brought back to the attention of the people, then they truly believe that this would be a better place in which to live. So why is it people don't want the law? Well, at the end of time, if we continue to be faithful, we'll know why some people rejected God's law. And if they are doing it tonight, we hope that whatever is shared about God's Ten Commandment law, they would be able to see clearly that this law truly is a mirror, like James says. And once we look into this perfect law of liberty, we can be set free tonight through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
But Renrick, I'm going to come back to you. Last speaking to you, you talk about what was nailed to the cross. Could you explain to us what ordinances are, please?
Ordinances, like Brother Paul said, it's simply a set of rules or a set of actions that an individual must perform in order to fulfill a particular purpose. If we go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9 through 11, we get a quick snapshot of what happened to the ordinances, and it says, "Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offering both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, and divers washings, and carnal ordinances opposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, this is to say, not of this building." So what is the Bible saying to us here? That the ordinances were simply a type and shadow of what was to come, being Christ. And the ordinances were not perfect and they couldn't save, but what Christ did or about to do in the past tense at that particular time was perfect, a perfect sacrifice, and would take away the human ordinances that man would have to perform in order to, as an example or as a shadow of what type Christ would do when he came and offered a sacrifice on the cross.
Brother Paul, are you and Brother Renrick telling me this afternoon, telling the Bahamas and whoever is, and everyone who's listening this afternoon, that in order to be saved, you have to keep the commandment?
Well, the reason why you keep the commandments is because you are saved. You don't keep the commandments to be saved. You keep the commandments because you are saved. As a matter of fact, you can't keep the commandments unless you are saved. Because the Bible says that our carnal mind is not subject to the law of God and never indeed can be. The only way our minds can be subject to God's law once the Holy Ghost convicts us of sin. John said that the Holy Ghost came to convict us of sin and righteousness of judgment. And what is sin? 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 tells us, "Whosoever commits sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Then the Bible says, "To him that knoweth to do it good, and to do it not, to him it is sin." So if you know you are partaking in something that you should not be partaking in, that's a sin. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we must remember that there's only one thing that's going to keep us out of the kingdom of heaven, and that's sin. We must remember that Jesus Christ said, in the book of Matthew, the Bible tells that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins and not in our sins. Remember that. There's only one thing that's going to keep us in heaven, and that's sin. As a matter of fact, if you read the book of Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, it says, to him that overcometh, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. And what does Christ want us to overcome? He wants us to overcome sin. And the only way it is possible for you and I to overcome sin, once we could stay rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ.
I'd like to just go back over the ordinances again. I mean, the scripture goes further into the explanation of the ordinances and the fact that the ordinances were taken away. If you go to Ephesians chapter 2 and we'll read from verse 13 to verse 15, and it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in what? Not on the tablets of stones, ladies and gentlemen, but the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And then if we quickly turn over to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, and it says again, the writer speaking of Christ, saying that he, and it, verse 14 reads, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So the Bible is clear. The Ten Commandments written on two tablets of stone were not nailed to the cross. That couldn't be nailed to the cross. But what in fact was nailed to the cross were the ordinances. It was taken away, that middle wall of partition that actually separated us, and that was taken away at the cross.
Thank you very much, Brother Henry. Ladies and gentlemen, we want you to participate in this 2-hour program that we're having this afternoon. If you're calling from the Family Islands or outside of the Bahamas, you could reach us at 1-242-300-8255. That's a toll-free number for all overseas call and Family Islands. If you're calling from New Providence, you could reach us at 325-5403 or 325-5404. And this is a special program presented by Turning Point Ministries this afternoon, dealing with the Ten Commandments and the Ten Commandments Day. So any questions or comments will be greatly appreciated this afternoon. Go ahead, Brother Renner.
Julian, I think we want to expand a bit more on the question that you asked. Can we be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments of law? And again, the answer to that for all our listeners is a plain and simple no. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by keeping the law. But then again, once we are saved, we will want to obey Christ. We will want to obey and follow whatever is written in God's holy word. And the Bible is quite clear in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that we're saved by grace through faith. And it's not of ourselves, but it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Grace is something that we don't deserve. It's the favor of God. But again, once the believer is saved from sin, once he realizes what Christ has done and that sin has been washed away, then the believer will want to be obedient to his Heavenly Father and follow those things that are written in God's Word. And part of that is the Ten Commandments law.
But Brother Paul, one of the things in studying about this Ten Commandments and Ten Commandments Day, especially Ten Commandments Day, it seems as if all the churches are getting together. It seems as if they want to unite. Is this a good thing?
Well, Jesus commanded we should come together as one. But remember, when we come together as one, he also laid the principle down, we should be speaking and practicing and doing the same thing. Now, if you should go to the Ten Commandments Day website, you will see a list of ministers that are participating who don't want to speak and practice and do the same thing. Some of their music services are different. Some of their way they speak to the nation is different. Some of them do certain things that, you know, that make them don't appear. As a matter of fact, if you should attend one church this week and attend one church next week, you will see something being practiced that it will almost leave you confused. When Jesus said we should be in harmony, everything should be along the same biblical lines, wherein if they should go to the church on the east or they should go to the church on the west, they can basically hear the same message. Only thing they might hear it in a different way, but if they should combine the message together, it will all make sense with the gospel. You see, the gospel never came to make us confused. Remember, Jesus Christ says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nowhere in the scriptures do you ever see the apostles contradicting one another or the prophets. They all lined up from Genesis straight to Revelation. You see all of them was lined up. And anytime anyone went out of line, the Lord sent a straight message rebuking them. Remember when Saul rejected the word of the Lord and the Lord rejected them from being king? The same thing applies today. The prophets must be in harmony. They must follow the principle of Isaiah 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. That's Isaiah 20. So the question is to be asked, why are we having different messages all coming from the same Bible? This is something we need to ponder upon today. Because if I should come to your house tonight to give you a Bible study after the program is over, and I should send Brother Julian to do a follow-up, when Brother Julian comes, he should be speaking the same thing I was telling you about. If not, it's going to be confusion. These brothers from Turning Point are confused. One saying go to the left, one saying go to the right. And the way how that is possible, that me and Brother Julian and Brother Renrick be on one accord, if we should come do a Bible study at different nights or different days with you, is we're going to use the same Bible, and we're going to put the same concept, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, someone said it this way, how you can take the Bible out of its context. The Bible says, he went out and he hung himself. The next part of the Bible says, and he left an example that we should walk as he walked. And he and you and I should do likewise. Now, if we use the true scriptures, we can hang ourselves if we take it out of its context. But if we keep it in its context, then we realize the Bible says we should not take our own lives. We should not kill. And the best way to do that, the best way for us not to kill ourselves, is to stay rooted and grounded in Jesus. Because remember, the devil, he don't kill. How? He gets you. He just wants you. Because you realize what the Bible says. The Bible is quite clear. That when the fire fall from heaven, hell is made for the devil and his angels, not for you and I. So the question to be asked, why would you and I be a part of that when it was never made for you and I?
We have a caller on line one, so we're going to take Mr. Emerson, I think it is, on line one. Good afternoon, Good Mr. Evening. Emerson. How are you, sir?
That's fine. Yeah, I have Mr. Emerson? Question. One deals with what was, in your opinion, was Jesus trying to teach the Jews in regard to the Sabbath observance when he performed so many miracles and healings on the Sabbath day? In addition, when he told them that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And what does it mean for us today? How should we see what Jesus was trying to teach about the Sabbath? Okay, that's one question. You understand the question?
Yes, sir. Go. Yeah. What's the second one?
The next one deals with, in the next 2 weeks, a movie based on the novel The Da Vinci Code is expected to be released. And it may be shown in Nassau. In your opinion, should Christians see this movie or read the novel? And should it be made for public viewing? Should the movie be made for public viewing? Because of its made so many claims that strike to the heart of Christianity. And they're my two questions.
Okay. I'm going to take the first one. But Brother Paul's going to take the first one. I'm going to answer the second one first.
Okay.
In terms of the movie should be shown, of course you know that is something that depends on the film and control board.
Yes.
That is something the film and control board deals with. You understand that?
I do.
Okay. So what Brother Paul now is going to answer is he's going to answer the first one.
What Jesus was trying to teach about the Sabbath was not made for man, but man for the Sabbath. I normally put it to people this way. Our cars and our house was made for who? It was made for us to enjoy.
Yes.
Like the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for all mankind to enjoy. Now, you will get some Bibles that will tell you that the Sabbath was made for the Jews. And if the Bible penned it that way, the Bible is out of order, because you would agree that Jesus is not prejudiced. He doesn't have a racial barrier here. What he did for one, he did for all.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus says it best. He said the Sabbath was made for man. And likewise, I am Lord even of the Sabbath. I'm in charge of it. I'm the creator of it. And I give it to all mankind, not only to the father or the mother, the sister or the brother or the children. I also give it to your manservants or your maidservants for us to enjoy. And the thing about it is, this is the only command which starts with the word remember, and this is the one that most of the Christian world stands ignorant of or don't know the history behind it, and some people even are deliberately not keeping it. But the good news is that Christ will do everything in his power to bring you to a full knowledge of it, and I assure you he will strengthen you to walk forward in it. That's his job. And he's going to go at it and go at it and go at it, because at the end of time, if you and I are lost, God forbid, when we bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, there'll be no doubt in our minds that Christ went over and beyond to try to save us and to bring to us full knowledge of the Sabbath truth.
And Paul, I'd like to address the part of the question that you asked about Christ healing on the Sabbath day. I think we need to always sit back and realize that we are loving God, and that Jesus Christ would not stand by and watch man suffer in pain or any such thing simply because it was the Sabbath day. And he wouldn't hold back and say, okay, well, I'm not going to heal this person, or I'm not going to feed this person, or I'm not going to help this person out of a hole because it's a Sabbath day. Instead of doing it today, I'm going to wait until sundown and then do it then. No, that's not Christ's example. His example was always one of love and care for humanity and for mankind. And that example is seen over and over again throughout the Gospels. So Mark chapter 2, verse 23, you saw that Jesus fed his hungry followers on the Sabbath day. Mark chapter 3, as you said, Jesus healed the man that had the withered hand on the Sabbath day. He taught on the Sabbath day. And so these are examples of Christ. Always an example of love. And obedience to God's word, but always an example of love for his fellow man. And that's why the Bible says that, you know, the greatest of all these commandments, the Ten Commandments can be summed up in two sentences. Love for your fellow man and love for God.
Now, Brother Emerson, you also asked about, should Christians go to see the Da Vinci Code movie or read the book? My comment is on simply this. I always like to refer to Philippians 4, verse 8 as the Christian's TV guide. This will determine what you would watch, what you would read, what you would see. And it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And the fact that if you go to buy the Da Vinci Code book, I believe that you buy it in the fiction section. And if it's in the fiction section, that tells you that it's what? It's fiction. Fiction means that it's untrue. So based on that scripture, David also tells us that he'll put no evil thing before me. So based on those two scriptures, I think that a Christian could sound kind of good standing by not seeing the movie. Regardless of what it says about the Bible and so forth, we know that that's not, it might not be proper for Christians. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
What I like to say, but the thing about the movie thing is, the members of Turning Point don't see any movies. Because any movie that does not build up the kingdom of God is a movie that's dangerous to watch. See, if you must remember, the Bible says, by beholding, we become changed. Remember that whatever we put in our minds, like there was a commercial out a few years ago that says, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And the Bible says, let this mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. Jesus never dived in any darkness in order to take the message forward. He always dealt with the light. When you brought that darkness, he dispensed that with light, the light of God's word. So we remember, ladies and gentlemen, now if they want to bring the movie in, well, we're not going to go to a placard and say, don't bring it in. But let it be heard that Christ will not be pleased. And these movies are sidetracked from the gospel of Christ. And the devil knows exactly how to do it. If he can get you in the doubting area or sort of the confusion in your mind, he knows he has you where he wants you. And before you know it, you'll be so far off to the left, it'll be hard for Christ to bring you back where he wants you to be. Because the more we go away, we drift away and we drift away, our hearts become hardened. And the Bible says, no man having a sign to the plow is worthy of the kingdom if he should look back.
And Carla, we also should bear in mind that, you know, just be mindful of the times that we live in, that we are living in the last days, and there are many things out there that are going to try and draw us away from the truth, draw us away from Christ, and just lead us into deception. And this is what 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 tells us. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets, not a few, not one, but many false prophets are gone out into the world. And that's what we see today. There are many things that are in the world that appear to be good, but they are cloaked in the garb of deception. And, you know, when we get ourselves caught up in these things, what do? They draw us away from Christ. They draw us away from the truth. You know, there's so many wonderful truths that are in God's word that we can sit and learn and explore. And there are wonderful Christian books that we can read and let that occupy our time and not be pulled away into the deceptions and the wrappings, the silver glittery wrappings of Hollywood.
We're going to get to a caller right now, but if you want to contact us, long distance or Family Island is 1-242-300-8255, or locally here in New Providence is 325-5403. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Brother Miller?
Go ahead, caller.
Brother Miller?
Yes, sir.
Julian?
Yes, sir.
I've been told by certain so-called reverends and doctors that the Sabbath was only for the Jews. I want to know, nationally, if in the Earth Made New, the Jews would be worshipping Saturday and the Gentiles on Sunday. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, caller. By you saying that brings to mind Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23. And it says thus, Isaiah 66, verse 23, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship him, saith the Lord." I think, like Brother Paul mentioned earlier, Jesus is not prejudiced. I don't think that he has one time that one group of people will come to him and another time another group. And it says here, from one Sabbath to another, we all shall worship him. So I think the Bible has made it quite clear to us that we all will be coming on the same day. Now, we know that there might be some confusion even now about the Sabbath day and which day is the Sabbath and all this kind of stuff. But that is what we're here for tonight. We will deal with some of these issues. All right? In dealing with explaining to people, to our audience, maybe what the problem might be. But another text that comes to mind right off the top of my head, too, is the fact that the Bible teaches us that in the time of ignorance, God winks. So therefore, if persons are doing things in ignorance, well, God will not hold them responsible. But when they come to a knowledge of sin, then God will hold them accountable for what they have to say. Brother Henry.
Well, one quick scriptural reference that we can give to that question is Mark chapter 2, verse 27. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for who?"
Man.
For man, and not man for the Sabbath. Okay, the Bible doesn't say that the Sabbath was made for Jews or the Sabbath was made for Bohemians or Americans. It said that the Sabbath was made for man. It was given before there was any Jew, before there was any Greek or Hebrew or so on and so forth. It was given to man. It was given at creation and not just for a particular nation or a particular group of people.
Again, our telephone numbers are, if you call in from the Family Islands or overseas, it's 1-242-300-8255. If you're calling here in the Bahamas, it's 325-5403 or 325-5404. Number caller, this show is really for you, so we want you to participate. We don't think that we have all the answers, and that is why we came on a national show this afternoon to get your comments and questions concerning certain issues to ensure that if we are going down the wrong path, that we will be straightened up by some of these ministers and lay people who study the Bible and who might be a little bit more than us. Who might know a little bit more on us. So if you have any questions or comments, you could call in or you could talk live, or you could just give the questions to the two lovely ladies that we have in the booth this afternoon, and they would pass the question on to us. But Paul, in my little talk just now, one of the things that come to mind, a lot of people have asked me, is how can we be sure that the seventh day is the Sabbath day? Is there any way for us to be absolutely, positively sure in this day and age? Because the Bible doesn't talk about Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. It just gives the days of the week by number. So how can we be sure?
Well, most of the time when people ask me this question, but I normally go to Luke chapter 23. And I like to start at verses 52, where the Bible says the young man went to Pilate and he begged for the body of Jesus. And after Pilate gave him the okay to take the body, he took the body down, he wrapped it in linen, and he laid it in the sepulchre, hewn in stone where never a man was laid before. And the Bible said the day that he did this action, he asked for the body, that day was the preparation day. So that'll be day one, which will be on Friday. And how do I know? Because the Bible says shortly after the Sabbath drew on. And the Bible says the women who also were with him, which came from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how the body of Christ was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ornaments, and they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. Now, which is the Sabbath day according to the commandments? The Ten Commandment Commission will tell you if you don't want to believe me. They said it right. They said the seventh day is the Sabbath. They said the seventh day is the Sabbath according to the Ten Commandment Commission. And the commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11 says the seventh day is the Sabbath. So the Bible said they prepared the body, they got the body, and they put in the sepulchre on the preparation day, which was Friday. They rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment, which was the seventh day. And then chapter 24, verses 1 of Luke, says, "And now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they prepared on that Friday, and Satan others with them, and they found the stone rolled away. And when they went in looking for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was arisen, praise the Lord. He rose from the third day just like he said he would have." So there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. It was Friday, the preparation day, the Sabbath day, the seventh day according to the commandments, and the first day of the week. On all around the world, the first day of the week is Sunday. If it is Monday, then that means we need to start keeping Sunday. But if it's still Sunday, then we need to start keeping Saturday. A lot of people don't realize that the change came about between historical facts and also church history. That's how the change came about. And there are a lot of ministers in the Bahamas and around the world that are keeping it in secret, don't want to tell their members, but this is what God called, they're two-timing God. They think they can do it in secret and still think they're going to find themselves in heaven. But that's a no-no. No man can have their hands on the two, because the Bible says no man can have two masters. You would either love one and hate the other, or love one and hate the other. You must be straight with Jesus Christ. And he's going to keep pleading with you. He's going to keep knocking at your heart door. He's going to not let you have no rest. And when all of this is exhausted, then the sad reality will set in. Because you received not the love of the truth that you be saved. 2 Thessalonians says you will receive a damnation. You will receive a delusion. And if you have a delusion, you would not even know. And why would you get the delusion? Because you've rejected the truth. And Christ then will let you be stay in your deluded mind. And at the end of time, you'll find yourself outside of the city. Because only people are going to go through the city, according to Revelation 22, verse 14, are those who keep the commandments of God are going to be the ones who are going to enter into the city to go into the gates.
And the words of Christ, again, are clear. And if we look at John chapter 15, verse 10, Christ says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So again, ladies and gentlemen, keeping the commandments of God and honoring God, Seventh-day Sabbath, is not a matter of works or something that we do out of our own strength, but it's love for God. When we realize what Christ has done for us on the cross, that we were nothing but rotten sinners, even I was a sinner, and Paul and Julian, we all came from the dirt of sin and the filthiness of sin, but it's the gift of God and the mercy of Christ that washed us clean and free from that sin. And in love, we want to be obedient to God's word and God's Ten Commandments and honor his Sabbath, not something that we do out of our own strength, but something that we do being empowered by his Holy Spirit. So when we honor his word, when we keep his commandments, we do it out of love, obedience out of love.
Our telephone numbers are, if you're calling from the Family Islands or overseas, it is 1-242-300-8255. Or if you're calling right here from in Nassau, New Providence, you could reach us at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. We have a number of lines available, so call in, ladies and gentlemen. We want to hear your comments and your questions on the Ten Commandments Day or even the Ten Commandments. We're willing to deal with all of those topics this afternoon because we want to hear. Turning Point wants to know, because we want to know where our program should go over the next few days and few months and few years if we are going wrong in terms of this Sabbath day question. Brother Paul, Colossians tells us that we should not judge nobody on Sabbath days and so forth. Can you explain that text to us, please?
The thing about this text, Brother Julian, is people always jump on the bandwagon dealing with the Sabbath days or the Sabbath day, how they like to put it. But how about if you jump in? In that case, then, if you really take it literally, I should say, then that means me and Brother Julian and Brother Renwick, when we leave, and then we can go drink some rum. Because it also says you all should not judge us on drinking rum. Think about it. And who's ever deceived is not wise. And we also know, based on the statistics, there are more of our brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, and children laying in their grave because of alcohol drinking than any other curse on the face of the earth. The Bible is quite clear, ladies and gentlemen, that if we love God, we will surely keep his commandments. 1 John 2:3-4 says, "Hereby we do know that we love Jesus Christ, if we keep his commandments. And he that says, I know Jesus can keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." That's strong language. That's the Apostle John speaking. He said, we are liars if we reject God's Ten Commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, God love you. We are Turning Point. We love you. We know this message sounds strange. It sounds hard. But here again, we love to come by your church free of charge. We won't charge you a dollar, and all we would be that's going to share the facts and then give you an opportunity to share the facts with us, letting us know that we are off base. And as a matter of fact, when we came to ZNS, they laid the rules down, let us know that don't do anything to cause us to get sued. Whatever you say, make sure to back it up with the facts. And like we've been saying now going on 4 years, if you are saying something wrong, please call us. And ladies and gentlemen, let the record reflect. Up to this day, no minutes have called us to let us know we are lying to you. None. All of them said, yes, it's true, but there are no buts, ladies and gentlemen. The buts are going to cause us to be lost at the end of time. Jesus loves you with an everlasting love, but one day his long suffering is going to run out. And if you and I are caught in any sin, lying, hate, envy, greed, not paying our taxes, talking bad about the government, Remember that the Lord put the government there. And whenever he is ready for the move of the same, they're going to be moved of the same. There's nothing you and I can do to stop it. So it's almost blasphemous for us to say, you wait, Mr. Prime Minister, we're going to get you. Next year, you're going to be, who told you that? I mean, if you know the future, I mean, please help us out. Only person who knows the future is Jesus Christ himself, God the Father and the Holy Spirit. They're the only one that knows the future. And as long as the Lord wants the PLP to be in power, they're going to be there. If it's so big that they should move to the scene and someone else come in, that's going to happen. But always go to the scriptures. Daniel says God raised them up and he put them down. So that settled it for me. And no one can say anything else to change my mind.
I'd just like to quickly say, you know, what a delight and what a wonderful thing it is that which is God's word and his law. And the psalmist says that the Bible is clear. Psalms 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalms 119:105, and it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119:115. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. What a wonderful thing that the Bible is telling us, that God's word is wonderful and a light unto our path.
Again, our telephone numbers, if you're calling from overseas, our telephone numbers are 1-242-300-8255. If you're calling from the Family Islands, you can call toll-free, or if you're calling from overseas. Those of you in Nassau, you can call us at 325-5403, 325-5404, 325-5405. We have a comment from a caller on line one. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, I would like to make a comment here.
Go ahead.
I can hardly hear you, though.
Listen to me on the telephone, not your radio.
Oh, now I'm not playing the radio.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if I heard you clearly, I remember you saying that yesterday was celebrated as Ten Commandments Day.
Yes.
In among the churches.
Yes.
I would like to know. Well, more than likely, they would have repeated the commandments and have gone through it.
Yes.
I would like to know what the discussion was like when they touched the fourth one, the Sabbath observance.
Well, if you go on their website, they just mentioned the Ten Commandments. There was no discussion per se on the individual commandments on their website.
Okay.
At least the last time we checked, there was no discussion on it. The whole idea, if I'm correct, about the Ten Commandment Commission, is they want to bring everybody together because they said there has been an assault, especially in the United States. There has been an assault on the moral character of Americans. And they believe that by putting the Ten Commandments back into the school, into the courthouse, and emphasizing the Ten Commandments, that one, they could bring all the churches and unite together, and also they could improve the moral situation that is going on in the States at this point.
Now, let me just make another quick comment here. In the book of Exodus, chapter 19, we see here where the Lord made a covenant with Israel, Exodus 19, 7 and 8. And by the time you reach down to Exodus 24, a ritualistic service was involved there, which ratified the covenant with the sprinkling of the blood of an ox.
Yes.
Okay? Now, that was the old covenant, and of course, they didn't keep it. Now, the Lord had to institute the new covenant, right? And under the new covenant was also ratified by the sprinkling of blood. But this time, of course, it was not the blood of animals, but it was the blood of the sinless Son of God. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now, the point, I'm going to make a point here, which is going to settle the whole issue. There was no change in the new covenant after Calvary. There was no change in the new covenant after Calvary. Jesus met with his disciples at the Lord's Supper, and he instituted the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, 28. He instituted the Lord's Supper with the disciples, right? And he did it before his death because he wanted to make sure that it came under the new covenant. Now, what happened today, in most of Christendom, everybody accepts the Lord's Supper and they do it because it's a part of the new covenant. When you go into Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 and 17, it tells you that for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator.
Yeah.
For a testament is of acts of force after men are dead.
Yes.
Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth.
Right.
Now, Sunday keeping did not start before Christ died. It therefore means it could not be included in the covenant. The Lord's Supper was introduced, it was included in the covenant.
Yes.
So it therefore means, as this text is telling us here, you cannot add something in a testament or the covenant, so to speak, after the person dies. It has to be made before the person's death.
Yes, sir.
So then, Sunday observance would have been 3 days too late to be a part of the new covenant. And if you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand. Yes, sir.
Right. Because Jesus Christ died on Friday. He was resurrected on Sunday. And many of those who worship today on Sunday would say, well, yes, we keep Sunday because Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. But the fact is, that was never a part of the new covenant. Sunday keeping came afterwards. So therefore, that settles the issue that the Sabbath is what the Lord requires of us. The Sabbath keeping is what He requires of us. Sunday keeping was done by someone else. Someone else trying to bring up something else. But it was never, ever a part of the new covenant. And the mere fact it was not part of the new covenant, it means the observance of it is not required by the Lord.
All right. Thank you very much, caller.
You're welcome.
All right. Line three. Go ahead, caller. Hello? 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 I guess line three is gone. But the question we had from the call on line three was, I know that Saturday is the Sabbath. I worship on Sunday. Will I be condemned?
The question almost answered itself. Listen to what the caller said. The caller said they know that Saturday is the Sabbath. Would they be condemned? Well, the Bible puts it this way: to him that knoweth to do it good, and do it not, to him it is sin. So, caller, if you know it is the truth, I'm going to let you answer your own question. I would not say, you know, see, Jesus puts it this way. When Jesus walked among men, Jesus told them, if I would not come and spoken unto you, you would have no sin. But now that I've come and showed you what was going on in John chapter 9, that is, he said, therefore you have no covering for your sin. So, if you know that Saturday is the Sabbath, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the change really was made by the papacy system that they say they did, and if you know without a shadow of a doubt that the disciples did not change it, Jesus himself did not change it, and you keep on with Sunday, I'll let you answer that for yourself. It's like, before you met me, I didn't know it was wrong to be stealing apples. And I tell you, yeah, I see that, but I'm still going to steal these apples. Will I still be saved? Based on my understanding of scriptures, I would be lost. Because here again, I didn't know 2 days ago that stealing apples was wrong. But now that my sister or brother has come along and showed me that it's wrong, then I believe with all my heart, I surely will be lost. So yes, caller, you remember the conviction came to you that let you know that it is the true thing to do. It didn't come from the devil. It came from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we invite you to church with us this Sabbath. You can call us after the show is over at 322-6273. And if you don't want to worship with us, we'll introduce you to one of the churches you can worship near your neighborhood. Or we can even offer you a ride. But do the right thing, caller. And who knows, you might be the one to turn the Bahamas and the rest of the world upside down. Because it only takes one person. And you might be that spark to get the fire going in the Bahamas.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Line two, go ahead. What's your question, please? Hello?
Yeah, Paul.
Go ahead.
Paul.
Yes, go ahead.
You could hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, my question is a question and answer, I should say. What I'm saying that in the New Testament, during Christ was on earth, the apostles used to worship on the Sabbath. That's correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. After resurrection, Jesus left this earth. The apostles still continue to worship on the Sabbath. That's correct.
Yes, sir.
The apostles didn't observe as a worship day on the first day of the week. That's correct?
When you say the worship, yes, they met on the first day of the week, but to do what?
Yeah, I mean, continue. They didn't change the Sabbath day to the first.
No, sir. They did not.
Because if you look in the New Testament, only eight texts tell you the first day of the week is mentioned. That's correct.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And any one of those texts mention about worship. That's correct.
Well, six of them mentioned about the resurrection of Christ.
Yes, correct.
And one of them dealt with the breaking of bread.
Yeah,
and one
correct.
Dealt with the collection of offerings.
But the breaking of bread was every day. That's correct.
Yeah, the Bible said they went about doing it daily.
That's correct.
The breaking of bread, as a matter of fact, it was a symbol laid down by Christ.
Daily chores, right.
And he said, as often as you do this, you do this in remembrance of me.
That's correct.
Not in remembrance of the Sabbath day, but in remembrance of what Christ did for us on the cross.
Mm,
and what he's
correct.
Doing right now in the heavens and the courts above, interceding for you and I.
And the eight texts recorded in the Bible, the New Testament, you find them in King James Version. That's Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, right?
Yes, sir.
Mark 16, verses 1 and 2, that's correct?
Yes, sir.
Mark 16 and 9, that's correct?
Yes, sir.
Luke 24 and 1, that's correct?
Yes, sir.
John 20 and 1, that's correct?
Yes, sir.
John 20, 9, that's correct?
Yes, sir.
Acts 20, verse 7, that's correct?
That's correct.
1 Corinthians chapter 16
and verse
chapter 2, that's correct?
That's correct.
That's correct?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Anyhow, let somebody else answer. So that would tell anybody who worship on the first day of the week, after Christ left this earth, nothing changed. That's correct.
That's correct.
So the people who worship on the Sunday, that was given to them by the Romans. That's correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so they should understand that the Romans changed God's worship day. That's correct?
That's correct, sir.
Okay, Paul, I'll let somebody else get into it because I could tell a lot, but I'll send you a letter.
Thank you very much, sir. Thanks for calling.
Righto.
It must be remembered that in Daniel 7, we were told that they would think the thing to change times and laws. So the laws have not changed, nor the day has changed. But they will think to change chimes and laws. Ladies and gentlemen, we have quite a few callers on the line. Please call us, hold on, because we want to give everybody ample time to make their comment or to ask their question. But we will get to you. Trust me, we will. You can reach us at, if you're calling from the Family Islands or overseas, you could reach us at 1-242-300 or 825-8255. Or if you're calling from Nassau, you could reach us at 325-5403 or 325-5403. 4. Go ahead, Gardner.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Gardner.
Yes. I want to just clarify something, and you can do it for me, okay?
Go ahead.
Now, I heard the comment about God selecting government.
Yeah.
And the connotation was that, and that the word was used, BLP, government. And we get the impression that if God selects a government, it is a good government. And biblically, we know that God selects also bad government as punishment for a people. Would you agree?
I would tend to agree to that, yes.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, yes. Yes,
yeah,
I would agree.
I am saying that the idea that God selects government, we get the impression that God selects, when God that. It they are good government. When you read the Bible, you find that God also selected wicked government as punishment for a people.
Mr. Gardner,
especially Israel.
No, I think Mr. Gardner, when Brother Paul talked about,
would you elaborate on that for me? I'll hang up and listen.
Yes, right. Thank you.
First of all, when we talk about God selecting government, we are not necessarily saying if the government is good or bad. What we're just saying is, whatever government in his place, is God allowed it to happen. There is a story, if we read in the children of Israel, God told them that he was going to give them a king. But they cried so much for a king that what did he do? He gave them a king. The reason why Paul used PLP, or the reason why we will say PLP, because that's the government of the day. If the FNM was in government, it would have been the FNM or the CDP or whoever. All right, it wouldn't matter who the government is. We're not saying the government is good or bad, but Paul, you complete.
As a matter of fact, I don't even vote. And the reason why I don't vote is I leave my voting up to Jesus Christ. Whoever he puts in place, that's who I'm going to work with. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to allow the Lord to use me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the, as a matter of fact, if the PLP want me or any government want me to come on board, I'll be happy to come. But remember, God's word is going to stand. And some of the things I'm going to say, I'm not going to feel too welcome in their party. Because one of the things I'm going to put on the table straight off is the first order of business, we're going to close down all the rum stores. Now, I mean, we're not going to issue rum license, I should say. But if you want to go and buy your liquor, the drink belt, so be it, because we're going to give you freedom of choice here. But if you're not going to issue no license, you know, it's free for all. And if someone should get under the influence of your alcohol and get hurt, remember, you're going to be locked up. Whoever getting it, they're going to be locked up. Everyone's going to be locked up. You see, it's not just going to be the person who was drunk. We're going to who you, but you buy it from Mr. Paul Miller. Well, tell Mr. Paul Miller, come on down to Central. We need to see him. Because I was the one who gave John Doe the alcohol. So, you know, the thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, is that we can't get hostile about this thing. God is in heaven. He knows what he's doing. And I truly believe that there's some things the Lord want to do. He can do it through the PLP quicker than he can do it through the previous government. And the reason why I'm saying that is because what the Lord has shared with me. You see, there's some spiritual things that need to take place. And when they take place, they're going to be done through governments. And you'll read that in Revelation chapter 13, where state and church is going to work together. God does not want state and church to work together. God wants the church to do his business, and he wants the states to do his business. But if you are a prime minister, he's like a preacher. He is throwing stones at the church because the church is not doing its job, and I'm with him. The church need to do... If you get your Saturday's Tribune that I bought Saturday night after sunset, the prime minister was telling the church to get with it, and I'm with him. The church need... Because the Lord sent the church in the highways in the Bible. It's not the government. Why should the government be doing urban renewal program, and that's the job of the church? The church is asleep, ladies and gentlemen. Could it be you and I are asleep also? Think about it.
And just to quickly add to something that Paul said, and you, as believers, we need to realize that our purpose for being here in this world, and we are in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. You know, as believers, our character should be conformed in obedience to God's character. We should follow his law and do the things that God has called us to do. It's not our role as believers to try and influence or change society by influencing governments, but it's our role as believers to change society by influencing the hearts of men. When we preach Christ and lift up Christ up and lift up his holy law, then the hearts of men would be changed and then society would be changed. It's not our role to try and gather political power to change, try and influence or change society that way.
Go ahead, Randolph.